Vladimir Zutiev, and welcome to CBS Mornings On The Go. Ahead on this Monday, June 22nd, how you can score big on summer deals as Amazon's Prime Day event gets underway. Kelly O'Grady is here to help you save money with a guide to all the bargains. Plus, speaking of saving, Jill Schlesinger has a mid-year money check. She says now is the time to look at your spending and make adjustments. For example, you may be paying for things you don't use, like subscriptions. Also, author and journalist Jody Kantor is here with tips for grads entering an uncertain world. A lot of young people are struggling right now, but there is a path ahead. And we're joined by actor and author Danny McBride with his brand new book of stories. They're all about modern men and the ways that they can be ridiculous. All that and more ahead.
The U.S. beat Australia very easily to advance to the tournament's knockout rounds. Now, that's despite an injury to one of the team's biggest stars. Lilia Luciano has more on that and some of the other amazing World Cup moments.
Driven instead.
Despite a population of just half a million people, the tiny African nation of Cape Verde put itself on the global soccer map.
The shot taken, Cape Verde's turned it!
In another match against top-ranked competition, they scored their first ever World Cup goals against Uruguay in a 2-2 draw to remain undefeated in group play. Meanwhile, Spain got back to business Sunday. Beating Saudi Arabia thanks in part to their 18-year-old phenom, Lamine Yamal, who scored for the first time in a World Cup. On Friday, the Stars and Stripes secured their place in the World Cup knockout rounds, downing Australia's Socceroos 2-0. 21-year-old defender Alex Freeman scored a gritty header that was initially ruled offside until a replay review sent the Seattle Stadium into a frenzy. A local agency that monitors for earthquakes says the ruckus celebrations triggered detectable seismic activity in the area. Freeman's teammates chased him down the vibrating pitch.
I looked back and I saw my teammates running at me. I was like, oh Lord, and I had to run. And then I ended up running and celebrating with them. And I think it just made me very emotional in the moment.
It is still unclear when Captain America Christian Pulisic will play again. The next U.S. match against Turkey is on Thursday. Since the Americans have already advanced, it will be an opportunity for Pochettino to give Pulisic and others some extra rest, which, of course, is necessary.
Now we like that.
To the next round.
Listen, it's only been two victories, but already people are getting ahead of themselves. Do we dare to dream, Lilia? Right.
Well, this is their best performance since 1930. That is a huge deal. It's great that it's at home.
Yeah,
people are finally rooting for soccer in this country.
Yeah,
I've been rooting for soccer for a long time.
Let the record show.
But what's beautiful about this is that they are having fun, and it's infectious, and you can see it.
Okay,
in
Elmo.
Style of play.
Okay, Elmo.
France versus Iraq today. I'm here for it. All right, Lilia, thank you very much. The shopping wars are heating up. Many big retailers are offering Americans discounts, very deep discounts this week, including Amazon in its Prime Day event. Consumers are expected to shell out more than $26 billion this week, and that is just online. The spending will likely be 9% up on last year. CBS Saturday Morning co-anchor Kelly O'Grady is here with your shopping guide. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be looking at Guitar Center this week to see what's going on there. But where should normal shoppers turn for deals this week?
I love that for you. Let's get that discount
on
guitar.
Right.
Okay, so obviously Amazon is the big one. They really set the tone for summer sales. And I thought this was interesting. Normally we'd be talking about this in July. They moved it up to June, and then a lot of retailers followed suit because they wanted to get on the action. So the ones that I really want you to look for this week are Target, Best Buy, Kohl's. They're all going to be offering a wide array of discounts across products.
So we know now where to go, but what kind of deals are we looking for?
Okay, so June is a really good opportunity to get some swimwear, some summer clothes, to take advantage of inventory that didn't sell during Father's Day. What I don't want you to do is go for a grill or patio furniture.
Why?
I was talking about this with my husband this weekend. We're refreshing our backyard. And I said, let's wait until early fall because that's when the season ends and retailers want to get rid of their inventory.
But Kelly, you need to use it during the season.
Well, we've got one now. We're going to refresh later on.
Okay, got it.
Also online, you've got apparel, electronics, 23% off on average, toys, 19%. It's also the Amazon deal. So if you're looking for the Amazon tech, like Alexa, Kindle, Fire Stick. It's a good time. And I know this sounds crazy, but back to school shopping, you can get some really good discounts at Target right now. They got 40% off on a lot of stuff.
Is there a way to maximize your savings right now? And also thinking like people may not want to spend that much at this point anyway.
Totally. Okay. I wrote them down because there are a lot of tips here. Wow. I want you to comparison shop across retailers. Another thing, if you're shopping in store, bring out your app, because a lot of times retailers will price match what they have online. So make sure you're getting the right deal. Keep your receipt. I know I always throw it away, but oftentimes retailers, if it goes down a week later, the price, they will price match. Mm-hmm. So make sure you keep checking the price. There's an app, a website called Camel Camel Camel, where it will track, I know it's kind of a funny one, but it's memorable. Yeah. It will track the history of the price. So maybe something's on sale, but it's actually not lower than it used to be because the price fluctuates so much. You can stack your discounts, manufacturer coupon. If something is on sale, you can always use that. And then this is the big one. If you don't need something, don't buy it. Don't have FOMO.
It's hard when it's on sale.
That's right.
I know.
I've fallen into that trap so many
times. Everybody does.
You get it and you go, why did I do that?
A little bit of restraint. Just,
yeah. Don't have
Show
FOMO.
Restraint.
It's okay.
My sticker shock is Kelly O'Grady throws away her receipts. What?
Never.
I mean.
My mom is like, her head is bursting in the segment right now.
Kelly, thank you very much.
The extreme weather all around the country. You've seen it. You've heard about it. Illinois got hit again with tornadoes late Sunday. Officials say at least two people are dead there. Another person, we're sorry to say, was killed in Kansas, where a twister packed winds of, listen to this, 135 miles an hour. Yikes. In the meantime, fire is a danger in Utah and Nevada, bringing tens of thousands of acres to the burning tens of acres to the ground. The small Utah city of Eureka, I like the name of that, had to be completely evacuated. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano is here, and he's tracking it all. Rob, good morning to you. What have you got?
Well, Illinois is what you talked about, right? It's just exasperating how with the month that they've had with tornadoes. That cluster of storm now is kind of draped around this front. We've got some severe weather that's moving through Arkansas. You're really getting it. This cluster has clocked winds of over 100 miles an hour in Oklahoma, parts of Oklahoma. It's getting into the north parts of Dallas as well. That little notch you see there north of Little Rock, that could have a tornado in it. Plus, there's flood warnings out for this entire area. So we got flood watches down there, and then flood watches also extend across the Ohio River Valley. So a wide swath of severe weather from Birmingham to Atlanta if you're traveling through that airport, Roanoke, Richmond, D.C. as well, Philly to New York this afternoon through this evening, and then another batch rolling through the high plains as well. This is kind of riding the jet stream, which, as you can see, is kind of ushering in the warmer air across parts of the Northwest. 90s in Portland today, cool and comfortable across parts of Chicago, but obviously the heat in the West not helping the fire situation there. We've got relative humidities at the 5 to 7% range. That is dangerously low, gusty winds and warm temperatures as well. So that will continue to be a threat across parts of the West, but we're watching those dangerous storms across parts of the South Central Plains as well. Flat, over to you.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Turning now to the latest on the U.S. peace talks with Iran. This morning, Vice President Vance told journalists in Switzerland that the negotiations had created a good foundation for a final deal. One of the biggest sticking points is Israel's conflict with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Iran blames the U.S. for not stopping the fighting. Holly Williams is in Beirut, which was targeted last week. Holly, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. The biggest hurdle to a peace deal with Iran may not be at the negotiating table or in the Strait of Hormuz, but here in Lebanon. As long as Israel and the Hezbollah militant group keep fighting, Iran has made it clear it will not agree to a deal.
On Friday, US officials said Israel and Hezbollah had agreed to a ceasefire. But the very next day, Israeli strikes killed at least 20, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry. Israel said it was responding to over 50 rockets launched by Hezbollah, killing an Israeli soldier. The conflict here reignited in March after Hezbollah fired rockets at Israel in response to the war in Iran. It's killed over 4,000 in this country, according to Lebanese officials.
Iran put a ceasefire in Lebanon as a condition for a deal.
Sami Nada is a Lebanese political analyst.
Do you think it's possible that President Trump can put pressure on Israel to stop fighting with Hezbollah?
To a certain point, yes. But let's keep in mind that Israel was not part of the deal. This is a core issue for Israel, which is its own security.
Iran backs militant groups across the Middle East, in Gaza, Iraq, and Yemen. But Hezbollah in Lebanon is its most powerful proxy. Not just a militant organization, but a political party that runs hospitals and schools. It's designated a terrorist group by the US.
Why does Iran have proxy groups?
Because this is part of their national security strategy. They built a ring of fire around Israel that is capable to threaten the very security of Israel.
President Trump is under enormous pressure to end the conflict with Iran, in large part because of soaring gas prices. But to get a deal, the U.S. has to contend with decades-long tensions in this complex part of the world that may be intractable.
And it's going to take some... Thanks, Holly. It'll take some time to play out. Holly Williams in Beirut. So coming up, it's time for your mid-year financial check-in. Jill Schlesinger will join us with some surefire ways to save you money. Plus, Danny McBride is the creative genius behind The Righteous Gemstones. Now he's bringing his signature humor to the subject of men in a new book. We'll talk with him on set coming up.
Believe it or not, can you believe it? We are halfway through 2026. So for today's Money Watch, we're talking about mid-year money moves, especially if your financial resolutions from January are gathering dust, along with that, you know, abandoned gym membership or the vacation app. That all sounds familiar. Everybody can relate to that. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is here to help. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you say at this mid-year point, there's one foolproof way to find money. What is that foolproof way?
You have to look at how you're spending your own money. Like, the foolproof way is to pay attention. And that might mean looking at your credit card statements.
Do you think people don't pay attention?
I think because so much of our lives are automated, we don't pay attention in the same way we used to.
That's
so
right.
I'll speak for you and me, Gail. When we got physical pay stubs and we got physical statements, you'd look at those statements. You really would. Now, because everything's automated, it's great, but you don't really know. So I think reviewing how you spend your money is really good.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, every quarter I go through my app subscriptions to make sure that I'm like, you know, Guitar Tricks from 1998.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. CNET did a study and they found that, like, the number of apps and streaming services we have is costing us more than $1,000 in a year.
Wow.
And that's a lot.
I don't pay attention to that. I bet there's stuff that I haven't used.
But you got to check this out. Yeah. $200 a month of unused services. That's where you can find it, right? And you can use different ways and apps can help track this. But I really would just want to point out, if I can give you advice about where to find money, pay attention. Look at what you're spending. See if there's something you can shift around. It may not be possible, but I do know that after people spending the last couple of months complaining about gas prices, now is not the time to be like, and I'm going to go out and spend money on all these other things to reward myself.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that spending less is always a better idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when you're talking about investments, right, advisors always say, just stay put.
Yes.
Don't make any
Don't
big
panic.
Moves. Don't panic. But is there a smart way to maximize 401ks or other investments that people might have right now?
What I want to point out is that midway through the year, things might have gotten out of whack in your retirement account. What do I mean by that? Let's say you started the year and you say, hey, I'm a young person. I've been investing. Maybe I'm 80% in stocks and 20% in safer stuff, bonds and cash. Well, now, midway through the year, you may be 90% in stocks and 10% in the safe stuff because the stock market's gone.
What do you think we should be?
So it depends on each person.
Okay.
But whatever you think your allocation is, mid-year is a perfect time to what's called rebalance. What does that mean? It means in most retirement plans, you can literally check a box and say, hey, I'm 70-30, 80-20. Every 6 months, rebalance for me. Yeah. The reason why this is great is it forces you to sell when things are up and buy when things are down. That is very hard to do most of the times. Vlad, you can chime in here.
Attest to that.
So this is a great thing. So if possible, rebalance your accounts. Now, if it's not a retirement account, the one thing I will say, Matt, is that you don't want to just buy and sell willy-nilly outside of a retirement account because there could be tax implications.
Yep.
But it is good to look at it. And if you have the ability to move that money around without too much tax liability, great, go ahead and do it. You don't want to have to be reactive. We want you to be proactive.
You also say no matter how much money you have, everybody should pay attention to estate planning, which always makes most people nervous.
Gail, how long did I bug you about it?
I know.
But I worked, right?
It did.
So I will be like the gentle nudge, Aunt Jill will tell you, that it's 6 months into the year. Many people put on those New Year's resolutions, do my estate planning. What are the three main documents that everybody needs? A will, a power of attorney, and a healthcare proxy. Now, why do you need a will? People say to me, oh, I don't have kids. But if you have stuff and you want it to go to somebody, write it down. You don't necessarily need to hire a very fancy lawyer. There are plenty of online services, but those other two documents are vital. Why? Because if something happens to you, you want to assign the right to make a business decision in your own on your own behalf and a healthcare decision. This is not about having tons and tons of money and estate taxes. This is putting things in order. And I can't tell you how much of a gift it is to make that all done before you pass away. So please, I know, it's a real nudge.
Word is we're all going to pass away.
I know, breaking news.
Heard. Start the morning.
So I've heard. Jill Schlesinger, thank you very much. Always appreciate it.
So high school graduation season is here, and many grads are wondering what's next for them. Award-winning journalist Jodi Kantor has some timely tips. She's the author of How to Start Discovering Your Life's Work. You can see it right there. It offers advice to help students and young professionals launch their careers and navigate these uncertain times. Jodi Kantor joins us right now. Hey, Jodi. Okay, so we talk about college, and I remember my father and grandfather told me it's the best time of your life. Right. I had no idea what to expect, and it didn't end up being the best time of my life. I enjoyed the real world more. But what should people entering college right now expect and desire from this experience?
Well, the thing we want to watch out for is protecting them and strengthening them, given the negativity and fears around careers right now. We all know that there is a wave of anxiety about the workplace.
Yep.
And I am sorry to tell you that it is hitting kids in the first week of freshman year who feel like they have to figure it all out. So the question is, what is a positive and productive response? And given that the workplace is changing so fast that we don't know what it's going to look like, when they get out of college, how do they plan and prepare themselves and feel like they are fortifying and discovering themselves during college?
So my nephew Gabriel just graduated from college. He had a 3.8 chemical engineering degree. So, you know, a science. Wow. And he's struggling to find a job. And I wonder what advice you have for people who may think that the job market is bleak. I want to tell him that he'll eventually land something, but I don't know. It's been 30 years since I've been out.
Sunday Morning just did a whole piece about this, about college kids with all these different majors and can't find a job after spending all the money to go to college.
That's right.
Totally. And here's what else has changed. Looking for a job has become digital and lonely.
Yeah.
Giant job portals, AI interviews.
You don't even get to talk to people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is what I want all these kids to do during college. I want them to strengthen their in-person connections because that is how people are getting hired. Paradoxically, the more digital the process becomes, the more real life connections turn out to count. Listen, with jobs, we know there's always been a front door and a back door. Don't be naive and think that the front door is going to work for you. We need to find creative ways of accessing the back door so that it's not only the best connected kids who are getting those jobs.
Jodi and I were just talking a moment ago about this because my daughter is looking for her first job summer, right? She's 17.
How old is she?
Okay. She's 17. And she can't find a job because people have been bumped out of AI jobs. So they're taking one rung lower, like retail. Those people are taking the college kids' jobs. And then the college kids are taking the high school kids' jobs. So would you recommend that somebody obviously network and use the back door, as you said? What about just going door to door, handing out resumes? Like, what should people be doing?
I think that's totally fine, but that's great. That is a wonderful life skill because if nothing else, kids who are raised on screens can find it intimidating to contact strangers in that way. Great to learn. But I would also say look for the weak ties. Right? Mm. Like she should work her and your network, but then
and your network.
Exactly.
Right.
It's the teacher's cousin's softball coach that often ends up
pick you up
leading to a job because it makes your network so much bigger.
So we have to keep helping them, basically.
Well, so the other nephew, Oliver, he just graduated high school. You say technology is going to play a big role. How do they know how much technology will affect their lives?
Oh, they have no idea. I mean, I would become like AI literate, obviously, given this environment. But I think it's a big mistake to try to game out exactly what's going to happen in the workplace, because, as you know, the record of predictions is very, very weak. It's almost always wrong. But, you know, my last piece of advice is not just for young people. It's for all of us, anybody older and successful. Getting started has always been difficult. This era is making it much harder. We need to bring young people all the help we can. So it's also about us being kind and opening a door for young
people. I love
people.
That. Kindness always wins, as does Jodi Kantor. Thank you. All right, up ahead, we have actor Danny McBride, who's made a career from playing over-the-top men. We'll talk with him about his new book and his very funny and insightful take on men and masculinity. We will be right back. See you soon.
I ain't got no time for this. Bye, Felicia.
Okay, no.
What did he just say?
Mm-mm. No.
Did he just say bye, Felicia?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Bye, Felicia.
Jesse, you will never run this family. So bye, Felicia, to you, Jesse.
Who's Felicia?
You are.
No, you're Felicia.
Let's just all act like adults.
Look at that little spin he does. Yeah. That is the actor and comedian Danny McBride in the hilarious TV series. You've seen it, The Righteous Gemstones. So McBride is known for playing overconfident and often ridiculous macho characters. Now he's tapping into the spirit for his new book. It's called Thrilling Tales of Modern Men. The short story collection explores modern masculinity through a cast of characters like an amateur magician, a washed up sitcom actor. Scan the QR code. We make it very easy, Danny, for people to buy your book. You can pre-order your copy right there. And we're very happy to say that Danny McBride joins us in studio. Bravo to you, Danny McBride, because you're Welcome. So good on screen. And now it's like you've taken your talents to the written word. What made you decide to do it? Because I love the format of the book, too, because it's sort of written like a movie. The title appears in the middle. Did you notice that,
Vlad? Yeah, I did.
The title appears in the middle of the story. Take us your thinking.
You know, that's what I wanted to do. I really wanted to try to make this book an extension of what I've delivered to audiences for 20 years in writing for television. I wanted to take those kind of stories, those sort of characters, and just try a different medium and see if I could replicate the same feeling, the same idea, the same unexpected irony that kind of pops up in a lot of those shows.
Yeah, because the protagonists are not often likable.
No.
But you figured out a way to show the humanity of them, too. I found myself rooting for them, even though I didn't like the things that they were doing.
Well, you know, that sort of happens in all the stuff I do. I'm just attracted to a kind of an oddball protagonist, not somebody who has the typical heroic values you would think a protagonist would need. I find that it sometimes makes the story way more interesting if the person isn't who you'd expect to follow in a story. And ultimately, I think you have to inject dimension into them so that people will kind of weirdly, even if you don't like them, kind of root for them to get it together.
But it's the masculinity part, Danny. What made you want to focus on masculinity? Because there's so much talk about toxic masculinity, fragile masculinity.
You know, it's a little bit of a critique on modern masculinity, but it's also weirdly a love letter to it. You know, I mean, a lot of these guys I feel like they're part of this generation that I'm a part of where we grew up watching Rambo and now you work at Geico. Trying to come to peace.
100%.
Exactly. Glad you said 100%.
100%. I mean, and I like this take on masculinity and sort of upending what it means to be masculine. I mean, in another chapter that I read, it's an anthology series. People should know that. In this, the chapter on the Institute, Mitchie is asked a series of questions about crying, about fighting, about friendship and sex. And I think
he's losing his hair.
That's right. The questions feel absurd, but it's also like you're satirizing modern masculinity, but you're also exploring how men are secretly searching for a definition of what manhood means that no longer feels stable. When we were kids, Rambo, you want to be Rambo, right? You want to be the Terminator. But like when you are in your adulthood, you realize that definition doesn't apply anymore.
It is. And that's where a lot of these characters find themselves, is I think that they find themselves at a point in life where things have not gone as planned, things have not gone as expected, and they're trying to figure out the tools to put things on the track for themselves.
I want you to sort of take the temperature of masculinity right now, because I think this is a really interesting topic, like growing up with Rambo and then watching and then working at Geico.
Nothing against Geico.
No.
Yes. Great commercial.
Yes. Yes.
It wasn't the nicest
They're
guy
a great
anyway.
Company. Yes.
Big knife, tarp. No.
So, like, where are we in this era of masculinity right now? If you could sort of assess the position right now.
You know, I honestly have no real clue. I think
you're kind of a connoisseur of masculinity.
I digest it all. But, you know, I think every generation probably has their own things to come to terms with what that definition of masculinity is. And I feel like my generation, we were the generation that grew up on TV, cable TV, video stores, Blockbuster movies. And I do think that that influenced from a young age how we maybe thought life was going to turn out, or how, you know, you were supposed to behave, or what you were supposed to do. And so maybe the real life comes to slap us in the face, and we have to challenge some of those, you know, preconceptions.
Well, there's also a chapter on RoboCare, which is an interesting one, because it's sort of looking at what it's like for aging parents to be taken care of by adult children.
Yeah.
And what is that like?
Well, I'm not looking forward to that chapter. I won't hire a robot to take care of my parents. I promise my parents I won't do that. Son. But yeah, it's just, you know, with this book, I think a lot of the main characters, it spreads a wide variety of who these protagonists are. So in that story, it obviously is a guy who's later in his life, and he's got to dedicate everything to his kids, and now they don't want to take care of him.
Look at you, Danny.
It's such a good book, Danny
and
McBride.
20th anniversary of Tropic Thunder.
Thank you very much, Danny McBride. Yes. Thrilling Tales of Modern Men goes on sale tomorrow. Scan the QR code to pre-order your copy. It's Monday, and Monday means Begno's America, where CBS News contributor David Begno finds the heart in every story. After years of medical struggles and uncertainty, one family received the gift that opened the door to a new beginning. David brings us a story of hope and an uplifting meeting no one expected.
Before she ever met her, a life-saving gift connected them.
Nice to meet you, ma'am.
And now, for the very first time, they've come face to face.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's so nice meeting you.
Hi, Alani.
Oh, thank you.
Today, 4-year-old Ilani Troncoso is bursting with energy. But her parents, Amanda and Miguel, remember a very different little girl.
She was just like a shell of herself. And she just wasn't living.
Ilani was born with Alagille syndrome, a rare genetic disorder that was slowly destroying her liver.
Over time, her jaundice got worse, and she had a hard time gaining weight. She was put on a feeding tube. The most discomforting for her the entire time was the itching.
The bile building up in her liver caused relentless, round-the-clock itching, and there was really no relief.
There was nothing that you could do to help her. And so it was just, it was very emotional. It was very hard.
Too weak to play, too miserable to rest, doctors at Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego delivered a sobering message. Ilani needed a liver transplant, and without one, she was running out of time.
We were doing all of the necessities to be on the donor list, and we were just going in for a regular checkup.
Then what seemed like a routine checkup changed everything.
Ilani has a living donor. I just remembered going silent and just starting to cry.
The donor, 52-year-old Ann Nguyen, was no stranger to extraordinary generosity. You see, back in 2019, when her friend Penny Pride needed a kidney, Anne didn't hesitate.
I was in disbelief, absolute disbelief, because who does that? But this amazing human.
That decision made them family forever.
She's my soul sister.
And then Anne did something remarkable. She stepped forward again, this time for a child she had never met.
It just, again, stuck in the back of my mind, like, here's someone else that needs help. You know, is it possible that maybe I could do this again?
The impulse to help runs deep. 15 years ago, a traumatic brain injury gave Anne a profound understanding of suffering.
I had migraines every day, all day for 10 years. And, you know, I just understand what it feels like not to feel well and to desperately hope that someone or something could help you. And that's why I decided to step forward.
On transplant day, a donated portion of Anne's liver arrived in a box with a smile and so much emotion around it.
You made it!
And so they bring out the box and we were just like, oh my gosh, it's in there. Like, that's for our daughter.
Anne had planned to remain anonymous.
Hi, Mama, you say hi.
That is, until a letter arrived from the Troncoso family.
Amanda wrote this amazing, beautiful, you know, heartwarming letter, and it just touched me. I mean, I cried reading it.
It was so hard. And so I just wanted to thank her for everything that she had done. And I hoped that one day that we would meet.
There was just one more thing to do. The teams at Rady Children's Hospital and UC San Diego Health, who cared for both recipient and donor, gathered to watch a now healthier little girl ring that bell.
It's exceptionally rare. The courage that it takes to donate a single organ for most of us is something that is hard to wrap our minds around. But to come forward and do it again, it's just so profound.
My deepest wish is that more people out there can have someone that can step forward to help them.
Anne is my do-good hero of the week. She proves that compassion is not just self-sacrifice, but what she did can bring meaning and purpose to one's life. Anne feels so good about what she did.
David, I like in the piece where you use the phrase unexpected generosity. I thought that so sums her up so beautifully.
And we all have the power, Gail, to do what Anne did. She saw the story about the child needing the liver on the news. She thought, I can help. And that's how it got started, as random as that.
The ultimate act of selflessness.
I marvel at people that do that for total strangers. Yeah. I really do.
Me too. Me too.
All right. Don't forget to check out the podcast. The person
who
believed in me. This week's episode is with the 5-time Olympic medalist diver, Tom Daley.
All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on CBS Mornings. Take it easy.